righty. Well, if you will, turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And I think it's three verses I'm going to be reading, but here in Exodus chapter 3, we see where Moses is doing the speaking right here, and he's speaking to the children of Israel right here. Now, at this time, the children of Israel, they have been 430 years without the Lord Jesus Christ, because they was a slave and they was in bondage, and not only bondage, but you know, they did not have the supernatural. They didn't have the supernatural God that they was looking for. But Moses right here, he was telling them what they need to do. They need to cry out for the supernatural. The supernatural. And we know that they had the natural God, just like I knew something about the natural God, but I didn't know anything about the supernatural God. Why? Because I was not serving him. I was serving the supernatural devil. And the devil is supernatural, but we know we got one that's a whole lot more supernatural than the devil. Because, see, the devil and God, they right there together, because they was there in the heaven there, and God would take up a conversation with the devil, and he would ask the devil certain things. I have no idea what he would ask him, but he would ask him certain things, and he would talk to the devil, and then that's when God started creating the earth. That's when God started creating the fowls of the air and all the animals and everything, and that's when he created man. That's when he created Adam, then Eve. But here's Satan. He said, well, I think I can do a better job, God. I think I can do a better job than you do. Because what you've given just Adam and what you've given Eve is just a bunch of trees here that has fruit on it. I can give them something more better than that. And the Bible doesn't say exactly all of them words, but I believe that's some of the conversation that the Jehovah God that we serve had talked to the devil about. And the devil said, well, I tell you what, if you think you can do a better job, I'll tell you what, I'm going to just let you go to earth, and I'm going to just take your reign away from you here in heaven. Because, see, the devil was right there with God. He was right there with God and by God. He was sitting with God. He was communing with God. You said the devil done it? Sure did. His name was Lucifer back then. But see, God also wanted someone there that would commune with him. He wanted somebody that would talk to him. He didn't want nobody to come and tell him what he's going to do, that they can do better. And we say it all the time, we think we can do it better because we don't go and do what God has asked us to do. We may not come out and say it, but that's basically what we say, that we can do it better than he can. Why? Because we have not taken enough faith in him and trust him enough. Well, if we just trust him by faith, not by works, our works is not going to get it done. Yes, we have to work. We have to go out here and we have to do something for it. But first of all, we've got to put our faith in action. We've got to put our faith in someone that can help us with the work that they've given us to do. And as that goes forward, then we can also see where the children of Israel right here, and they cried out. In verses 7 in chapter 3, it says this. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard thy cry. by reason of the taskmaster or by the reason of the leaders. For I know thy sorrow, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land of flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel, come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Other words, what he's saying right here, Moses is saying right here, and he's telling them right here, he says, you have to serve God. God can bring you out of Egypt. God can bring you out of that long journey. And from that long journey, right here, speaking about 430 years since the children of Israel had come on the scene. And not only that, they'd been through some hard times. And over in chapter 12 in the book of Genesis, it speaks about Abraham. And Abraham's going to be the father of nations. And he's going to be the father of what? The Israelites. He's going to be the father of all nations. And the Abraham is a type of Jehovah God. And Isaac in chapter 22 is a type of Jesus Christ. And then we have the ram in chapter 22 that was caught in a thicket, and he came forth and he rescued the Son of God. He rescued Abraham's son, and that is a type of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm so thankful that we did not have to wait, and I didn't have to not come up and say, well, now, God, you saved me. Now, how long am I going to have to wait? How long am I going to have to wait before the Spirit of God enters within me? The Spirit of God had already entered in me before I said yes to Jesus. Why? How do I know that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he could not save me without the conviction that was upon my heart. And who brought conviction? It wasn't God. It wasn't Jesus Christ. It was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what brought conviction to me. And the Holy Ghost is what told me that I was going to die and go to hell. But also the Holy Ghost told me, he said, I know somebody that can give you a pardon. I know somebody that can rescue you. And you don't have to do a thing for it. You don't have to spend one red dime. All you have to do is trust and believe by faith. You have to trust this word. You have to believe in what this word's saying. Not in what the preacher tells you. Not in what I tell you. But what your Bible tells you. I hadn't been saved probably 3 or 4 days. And I went out. First time I went out on visitation. And when I went out on visitation, the pastor asked me, Brother Brother Jimmy Pruitt, he hadn't been there but by maybe 2 or 3 weeks. But he asked me, and this is, I was riding with him, and he asked me this question. And it will trick anybody. He said, who saved you? Naturally, what did I say? I say Jesus Christ did, which Jesus did. But he come back with this answer, and it's true. He says it wasn't him. It was the word, the faith that you put in the Bible.
The faith that you put in the Word of God, that you believed in what He done. You had faith in what He done there at Calvary. That's what saved you. And when you put your faith in Calvary, when you put faith in that Word, then you become and you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know Jesus beside the Word. If we didn't have the Word, would we know anything about Him? No. If we did not even have a Bible, if we did not have anything to ever read, if we didn't even have the Hebrew or the Greek or anything, we would not know anything at all about Jesus. We would not know anything at all about the faith. We would not know anything about His precious Word. But because we do have a Bible, the Bible teaches us something. It teaches us that we must come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith. By faith. Not by what somebody else has told me, but by faith. That's the reason I believe that a sinner needs to hear the Word of God. And that's the reason I say that anytime we go out, and I know it's kind of hard, and, you know, and the Jehovah's Witness do it, but, you know, and some of the others I hear do it, they'll go out and they'll tote their Bibles with them. But we, the Christian, we don't tote a Bible with us under our arms when we go visit someone. And the reason we don't is because we're scared that if they see us come up, if they see us walk up the sidewalk, and we got a Bible under our hand, they say, well, I just really don't want to talk to them tonight. I don't want to talk to no Jehovah's Witness tonight. You know, God the Father, He is my Jehovah. And I witness for Him. But I witness from Him from the true Word of God. Not from what some man has told me. And what some man has indoctrinated my mind and all of that. And I'm not going to say that it's the helper that came and convicted my heart. He wasn't the helper then. He was nothing else but the Holy Ghost. Nothing else but the Spirit of God. He's the one that came and spoke to my heart. It wasn't a helper. You could be one of the helpers. You could come and speak to me about this or that, and I can call you a helper. But what does the Holy Spirit mean? What does it reveal? It reveals, just like I said, the wind. I know we've had a whole lot of wind here lately. And we've been into the church, and I've seen where the pine trees are, where they blow. And the limbs will move. But I don't see nobody else around them. I don't see nobody up there. He's taking a long rod up out and moving that limb up there for that limb to move. No. That's not the helper. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost of God where He is. It's where Jesus is at. He's not going to show up unless Jesus is here. Why would He show up if Jesus wasn't here? And I thought about that one time. I heard a preacher preach on that. And I got to thinking about what he said. He said, you know something? He says, God the Father don't have to be here. The Son of God doesn't have to be here. He said, but the Holy Spirit of God can be right here. And He can do the same work. No, He can't either.
Because you don't have the triune God. You don't have the Trinity of God. You've got to have all three to get all three activated in our lives. We know what the Holy Spirit does. We know what Jesus Christ does. We know what He done for us. But who was it that sent His Son to this earth to save sinners, to save the one that's lost? Who was it? It was Jehovah God, our provider, the one that cared for us enough that would send His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. Who was it sent the Holy Spirit of God? See, some people say, well, the Holy Spirit didn't come on the scene until over in the New Testament. I think it was in the book of, in some portion of the book of Acts, that when talking about the Holy Spirit come on the scene. Now, the Holy Spirit has always been on the scene. Holy Spirit has always been, just like God has always been, and Jesus Christ has always been. It's always been the Trinity of God. Always been the triune of God. Because, see, God could not do His work there in heaven without the three. Why would God say, well, in my Father's house, in my Father's house, we can look at it this way. We know that everything that we see with our eyes, and a whole lot of things that we can't see because our eyesight don't go that far, but everything that has been created, everything that my eyes and your eyes has ever seen, and the eyes overseas has ever seen, and the eyes around the world, it's because of God. God allowed it. Why did God allow that? Did God allow it so He could eventually, in the New Testament, after Peter preached that famous message there on the day of Pentecost, then right after that, it's in there. Holy Spirit on the scene? No. He had the Holy Spirit there already. The Holy Spirit had come upon Peter. Not only that, I believe the Holy Spirit come upon Abraham and come upon Isaac and come upon all of them in the Old Testament. Just like what me and Brother James was talking about here the other week, we was talking. And he was talking about his surgery that he had on his shoulder. And he's still having problems with it. And he said, you know, I think a whole lot of that is my fault. I know what God's Word says about it. The sickness. I know what God's Word says about our health and everything. And God's Word gives us a solution for all of our sicknesses. But with the solution that God has got, and if we go to it and if we do it as He has put out in His Word, if we do it exactly the way He says, it may not come about right then. It may not come about in the next week or the next month. But it will come about. But he was telling me, he says, you know, my arm was hurting me and hurt me so bad before I went to the doctor and before I had surgery on it. I said, but you know something? He said, really, I was trusting God. He said, but really? I really won't. Because I was at church, and whether the church
believed it or not, I was supposed to go to a church, and I was supposed to talk to the pastor, and I was supposed to talk to him about, would you mind anointing me with oil? And he called all the elders up to the front. The elders, I don't think the elders are just means just the men folk. I believe what the elders is speaking about right here, I believe what he's speaking about there, talking about the elders, he's talking about the Christian. Who are the elders? The Christians. Who are the saved? The Christians. Who are the lost? The religious crowd. And he said, that's my fault. I should have done that. He says, after church at night, I knew I should have done it. I knew I should have done it, but I did not do it. And I did not do it because I didn't know how some of the people there would think. I didn't know what they would think about it. I said, you know something? That's the biggest problem I think we as Christians have. We care about what everybody else around us thinks. And we don't care about nothing God thinks about us. God has given us the solution. God has given us something right here. He's given us like he gave the children of Israel right here. And like he gave Moses also. He gave Moses the word of God to tell to the children of Israel. Now 430 days has went past. Has went by. You've been in bondage all that time. But God wants to take you out of bondage. God wants to relieve you of the stress. He wants to relieve your heart of the heartbreaks. He wants to relieve us of the things that we have no control over. We don't have control over anything. You say, well, preacher, I can't go along with that. Well, that's where I believe it. Why do I believe it that way? It's because God has complete control over what I do. What I say, what I see, what I hear, and the places that I walk. Then it's up to me if I follow him or not. And if I don't follow him, it's not because of my stupidity. Because see, I know what the word says. My word says stay close to him. And he will stay close to me. My word also tells me, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But he turns that around a whole lot of the times. Will you say the same thing about me? Can you say the same thing about me? That I will never leave you or I will never forsake you, God. Can we? A whole lot of times we don't want to look at that because it affects us. It affects me. So I don't want to put it in them terms because it affects me. Well, it affects me. Not only does it affect me, but it affects the other people that I come around. It affects more than just yourself, more than I. It affects everyone that we come in contact that day. And how many people do we come in contact each and every given day? We have no idea. You'd be surprised if we just took one of the little counters and we just stuck it in our pocket or just stuck it right there on our hand. And every time that we walk by somebody or even spoke to somebody, we hit that clicker. Click. How you doing, Brother Bill? Click.
Sister Nancy, how's Kelly doing? Click, click, that's two people. Click, click, click. You'll be surprised that how many people we see and we speak to every day. Some of the people we don't speak to, we may have said hi to them. And that's it. Click, click, click. I thought about trying him one day. Who I talked to on the phone, who I met out here in public. Click, click, click. Now on the phone, I can take it right down. I can start clicking it off one by one. I mean, I can click off of 30 or 40 just like that. Because they're always having these telemarketers calling. They always have somebody calling and wants to give me something. It ain't going to cost you nothing. Well, if it ain't going to cost me nothing, then why are you offering it? It's always a gimmick. You never getting anything for nothing. The only thing that an individual will ever have and ever purchase in their life, and it will not cost them one red dime, and they don't have to purchase it. And that's the salvation that only God can give them. I sure am thankful that I didn't have to pay for it. I sure am thankful I didn't have to pay $1 for it. Because if I had, I wouldn't have paid it. I'm being honest. Nobody else would either. We cannot pay it. Even if I did pay $1. And I say, here, Lord, I'm going to give you all I have right now. And all I've got in my back pocket is $1. You can have this, Lord. If you just save my soul. No, you know what will go through my mind? What go through my mind then? Say, well, you know. I'm working. I got a couple more hours to work. I may need something to drink. See, for me not giving that $1, he give me something to drink. That I drink on all the time. And that's water. That's water. He told the woman at the well. He told her everything about her. First time she'd met him. And she left. And she says, now, was you going back? Says, I know you're going back. To the place you come from. May not be the very words what the Bible says, speaks about. He says, no. She says, no, I'm going back to my husband. He said, yeah. But see, that's not the only husband you've had. You've had four or five. I don't know how many it was. I really don't. I know what the Bible says, but we don't really know. But he told her, he said, now, if you will take of this water that I give you, you will never thirst again. You'll never thirst again. You'll have spring living water inside of your soul just springing up. She took of the water. He saved her soul. When she went back home, when she went back up that roadway, the dirt road or the dirt pathway or whatever, do you think she just went up there just a walk in the same way she walked down? No. She run up there. Why did she run? Because she wanted to tell the others who she had met. Who she had met. She met Jesus. She wanted to run and tell them, just like
the lunatic that was caught in the grave and going through the graveyard and everything, naked as a jaybird. But then he come across and he met somebody, and his name was Jesus. And after he met him, what did he do? He went back home. And as he went back home, he was dressed. His wife did not even recognize him. Because when he knocked on that door, she come to the door. The kids come to the door. And they said, "Daddy, what's happened to you? You don't look the same. Your hair's kind of brushed back a little bit, and you got some decent clothes on and everything." He probably says, "Children, you have a brand new daddy. You have a brand new daddy." And looked at his wife and says, "I don't know what her name was. And you have a brand new husband. I'm here to take care of you." We have others the same way, done the same thing. They was out in sin, but once they got to know Jesus, Jesus brought them out of sin. And he clothed them, and he brought them to their senses. He brought them to their right mind and everything. You know, what he done to me. It's what he done to me. He brought me out of the mind, out of the gutter that my mind was in. He put me a new mind there. To where I would go home. I could tell my wife that I loved her. And I'd go home and I could tell my daughter that I loved her. And I could tell my stepfather that I loved him and I loved my mother. And then I'd go to work and somebody else come in that I never seen, hadn't seen in probably 6-8 months or a year or 2 or 3 years. I haven't seen them at all. They said, "What's wrong with you? Man, you won't like it the other week. Says, you got a smile on your face." I said, "Well, you know what that smile is? It's the love of God, and I love you." I told people I love them, and they didn't even not know me. They didn't know what happened to me, but I loved them. And someone said, "Now, women, don't you act like that now. You acting a little funny now. No, don't you do that." But I was telling them, then I tell them, I said, "You know something? I know somebody that's got a bigger smile than I got. And I know somebody's got a bigger love for you than I got that I will never have. And that's Jesus. His name is Jesus. And all you have to do is just say, 'Yes, Lord, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to have that kind of smile? What can I do to have that kind of love for other people? What do I do? What can I do? And how do I go about doing it?'" We're people that are so timid that we're so scared to even ask the Lord Jesus. And we can't even see it. We're so timid. People are so timid. They're so embarrassed about their own self, their own condition. One of these days, they're going to wish they'd have put that embarrassment on the back burner. They wish they'd have went on and
embarrassed themselves and embarrassed anybody else that was around them when they asked Jesus to save them. Four hundred and 30 years, Israel was in bondage. And you know, Israel, when even Israel, when Israel come out of bondage, sometimes they would always end up back in Egypt. They would always end up back in bondage. We're the same way. If we don't watch it, we'll be the same way. If we don't make coming to church a habit, we need to make it a habit, but not let it be a habit. You say, explain it to me. Well, so I can explain it to you. You need to make it a habit, but don't let it be a habit. That's what Jimmy Pruitt told me one time. He said, you always make sure when you do something for the Lord, you make a habit of doing it. But don't let it be a habit of doing it. Because if you let it be a habit, then you're going to fall right back into sin. Because what's going to happen with you is that you're going to forget about some of the important things in your life. And I don't know of nothing else that anybody could ever say that would give them any kind of joy and any kind of peace. How many of you that's here tonight has the joy of God in your heart? How many? Raise your hand if you do. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed about it. Don't be embarrassed to say, hey, I lift my hand up to God. Don't be embarrassed, please. Don't never be embarrassed in what God does for us. But we are. We're so embarrassed sometimes because we are people that are so timid that we don't know how to go about saying it to other people. Because the other people may think different about us. Well, if you think to me, think about me any different than what I am, then that's their fault. Because I'm like Paul. I'm not going to be ashamed of his word. I'm not going to be ashamed of what he done for me. I'm not ashamed of this book right here. I'm not ashamed if it speaks to me about my sin. I'm not ashamed of it because it helps me. It rejuvenates me. It causes me to want to have a little more. Causes me to have a little more. The supernatural. The supernatural come from the Lord Jesus Christ to us. We have the supernatural. So we need to look at Him as the supernatural. We don't need to look at Him as a He. We don't need to look to Him as someone else. We need to look at Him and who He is. And who is He? He is the Savior of all of mankind. But He will not save that individual that does not want to get saved. But He'll give them all the opportunity. He's just not a God of one chance, or two, or three. He's a God of many chances. And He prays for us every day. You know, I would rather be right with God, doing what God has asked me to do, and knowing that He is there to catch me when I fall. To catch me when I fall, because I fall all the time. I don't fall just because of my legs are being weak. But I come up short every day. I come up short in my mind. I come up short in my eyesight. I come up short in hearing the things that He wants me to hear. I come up short in my speech. I come up short in my walk with Him. I come up short all the time. But He, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's a good teacher. You know, He is a good teacher. God the Father, He taught His Son everything His Son knows. And then not only that, His Son taught the Holy Ghost everything the Holy Ghost needs to know. The Holy Ghost knows what I need to improve my faithfulness to God and improve my loyalty to Him. He knows what it's going to take for me to be a better Christian, to be a better preacher, or be a better pastor. And that's what I long to be. When I surrendered, and I'm going to close with this, but when I surrendered unto God to preach, then when He started talking to me and speaking to me about pastoring the church, I says, Lord, I don't know why You want me, because I know that I can't do it. He says, no, You can't do it. He says, but if You will allow me to teach You, if You will allow me just to touch You, if You allow me to express my love to You where You can express Your love to the people, You can do it. I said, Lord, my prayer is, if that's what You want me to do, if You really want me to pastor, I'm asking for one thing. I'm asking for Thy help for me to be one of Your best pastors that You have in the flock. I know that I'm nowhere even close to it. But that's what I strive for. I strive for that. Why? It's because, it's not just because I love God, not just because I love Jesus Christ, not because I just love the Holy Spirit, but I love people. I love you. I love your family. I may not go around and visit your family like maybe some would, but I still love your family. I love people in general. There's not an individual that I know that I say I don't love. Even that individual that looked at me the other day on a Wednesday when I failed, when he turned around and looked at me, like, what in the world is wrong with him? Is he drunk or something? That's about the way they looked at me. I love that individual. Why? Because, see, God loves them.
And I'm commanded by God's word to love people.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, we just ask, Father, that you would just go with us tonight, Father, to our respective homes. And Father, as we've been dismissed from the love of each other, Lord, that we know that we can never be dismissed from the love that you have toward each one of us. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you would be with each one of us this coming week. Father, that you will speak to our hearts and speak to the other individual's heart that you want us to speak to. And Father, that if we go and speak to them, Lord Jesus, that it will not be no embarrassment. There will be nothing wrong with it. Everything will come out according to what your word says. That we can just smile and tell them that we know somebody that loves them. And we know somebody that died for them. And we can also give them our testimony and what you've done for us. Father, we thank you and we love you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer. We pray. Amen. Amen.